Cloudcast Media.
Drew Schlossberg, Spotlight on the Community Show. Amplifying the voices of social impact organizations, entrepreneurs, local nonprofits, and other community champions who shape the culture, creativity, and connectivity of San Diego. Brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union, bringing good things to San Diego for over 60 years. Learn more about what is good for you and good for all by visiting www.missionfed.com.
I am Mark Milliron, president of National University and special guest host of Drew Schlossberg, Spotlight in the Community Show, the nation's largest, longest running podcast. Now in its 18th year, Drew is on vacation, but I am joined by Drew's co-host, Brandon Joe, our associate producer. Hello, Brandon.
Hello.
We're pleased to have in the studio today our friends from Promises to Kids. Joining us today are Tanya Tarosian, CEO of Promises to Kids. And Tanya, I'm sorry, I thought you were supposed to have a guest, but today I guess you're not going to have a guest, so it's just going to be you. We're glad to have you, Tanya.
Great, yes. It'll just be me.
Well, Tanya, Promises to Kids is one of those special organizations in the San Diego community that works closely with foster youth, but it's different from some of the standard foster youth organizations. Unpack the mission for our folks.
Sure. So our mission is to create a brighter future for San Diego's foster children. And like you said, we're a little bit different than you would think of traditional foster care agencies, where we're not focused on the placement or the direct housing aspect for foster children. Instead, I like to say that we fill in the gaps that are left behind for a system. So for example, one of the things that we have is called Camp Connect. And that's a program where when brothers and sisters come into foster care, they may come in together, but over time, many of them end up being placed in separate families and separate homes. And so Promises to Kids comes and brings those children together for monthly activities. We might take them out just as a family. And then we have a big summer camp where they can all come and just be together to make sure that they continue that bond.
I'm just super curious, sorry. But you say they get separated. Why does the system separate them in the first place? I feel like that just logically does not make any sense.
That's correct. It doesn't make any sense in terms of emotion and healing and trauma. However, when the county, in this case is San Diego County, is in charge of foster care placements, they have to look at where do they have availability in terms of placement needs. So where are there enough capacity? Mm-hmm. Then they also have to look at the needs of the child. And so some children may have higher level needs than others. And so unfortunately, with San Diego, it's much harder to have two things. One is a large enough house to be able to have a number of children placed together, large sibling groups. And two, you really have to have the ability to look at caring for, let's say, an infant, while you also may be trying to care for a 7 or 8 year old at the same time. Because many of the families that come in have 2, 5, 6, 7 siblings.
Oh, so, holy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is really a tough logistical challenge. And often people, they want to paint that there's a bad guy in the situation. Right. No, there's a whole lot of good guys who are wrestling with logistics that are pretty tough. And Tanya, we were talking about this before. My own background, I come from a family that took in foster kids for well over 25, 30 years. I come from a family of 9 kids, African-American brother, Native American brother, Korean sister, and we had 25 foster kids who rotated during that time. And generally newborns to about 5-year-olds with special needs. And one of the things we learned is everybody's trying in this system. Everybody's trying, but there's just hard family situations. Talk a bit about that idea. Like, you know, one of the things your program does so well is just kind of enter with empathy and then start figuring out solutions, right?
Yes, yes. There definitely, everybody's trying to do their part. And as Mark mentioned, it's an imperfect system. That's why I say we fill in the gaps. It's not because somebody's not trying to do their best or policy isn't there. It's just parents are, I guess a public system is not designed to be a parent, right? So they're doing the best they can. But yeah, what we do is we come in at any point when a child enters into foster care or needs additional support services. So I mentioned Camp Connect. Our other really large program that we have is called Guardian Scholars. And we've worked with National University and others. But our goal really is to come alongside a young person as they're reaching the age of 18, as they're preparing to complete high school, and find out what is their career path that will take them the furthest. What are they passionate about? And then working with them about finding a path for that. Is it career training? Is it vocational? Is it associate's degree, four-year university? And providing mentorship, case management. We just added therapy. So we have professional therapists on site. But looking at trying to heal the trauma that they've experienced prior to coming into foster care due to abuse or neglect. And then the trauma of what happens in foster care from frequent moves. Every time that you move from one place to another, you have to rebuild trust. Yeah. And what we're finding is older individuals, as they're leaving foster care, if they've been in foster care their entire 18 years or close to that, they've moved an average of 5 times.
Oh.
So we're dealing with repairing that.
What's really interesting in the world of higher education, where I live, one of the things we've learned in the last 15 years is the number one challenge for students, the set of challenges are not academic. They're actually life and logistics and psychosocial. And what you find about foster youth coming into higher education is that students who come from highly scaffolded backgrounds with two parents and often four grandparents, all focused on their success, if anything goes wrong, the world shows up and they're scaffolded, right? And not to mention they're taught from birth about what to expect when they get into higher education. Foster youth are often coming in with no, they feel like they have no sense of understanding of what the system or process is going to be like, no set of scaffolds. And I know part of what your organization does is to help get students ready, to help those foster youth get ready for that, and to make sure that they know that they've got people who care about them and will support them as they're entering that journey. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so a good example of that is we just had a young woman, her name is Dulce. So she's been talking a lot about her experience in foster care. She also happens to have graduated in the past year from National University.
We love our alumni.
Yeah, I mean, she's amazing. She is a mother. Her son is 9, Marcelo, and they saw a number of challenges while they were in foster care, right? Frequent moves, like I had talked about before. Mom struggled with mental health challenges. And so Dulce had to reconcile that, figure out how is she going to be, one, a better parent, two, what does she need in her life to move forward? So she comes into the education space. She knew that she had to change her life and her future through education. And so it was about that drive, but all along the way, they hit bumps. So they were homeless for a bit. She also struggled with mental health. She was a single parent. She didn't have enough funds at time to take care of food and other things. And so it's just what you were saying, Mark, about all the time she knew education was her ticket out, but every barrier that was there had to be eliminated, or she had to be insulated so that she could overcome those barriers and not do what many people would do, which is just say, I can't deal with school right now. Like, I have to deal with my immediate need of finding a home, having somebody who can support me. And I don't mean financially, I mean emotionally support them. And so that's really what Promises did. We provided mentorship. We provide case managers. We help navigate systems that otherwise are very challenging so that she can focus on her education.
And what's powerful about that is, and we say this all the time, is what we want to do is provide scaffolds. Mm-hmm. So National University totally focuses on non-traditional working and military students. And a number of those end up being foster youth mm-hmm. as they're coming through. But scaffolds at the right time matter. And we use the term scaffolds because scaffolds go away once the structure is strong enough. Yeah. But the scaffolds are really important in the transformation phase. So one of the things that's really powerful about that work is that you are providing the just-in-time scaffold. And it's not, talk about the importance of, in some ways, you all have to play jazz because for one child and for one foster youth, it is one kind of support. And for another, it is very different. And just talk about the importance of your ability to flex with that.
Yeah, it's definitely very individualized. I mean, like in Dulce's case, she was a parent. She had, mental health struggles and some others that she was dealing with her family. In another, it might be, I met a young man he's now 40, but back then he was 17 when I met him and he was exiting care. He was the person you looked at and said, boy, this kid has everything. He's all together. There's no challenges. He's going to be doing great. Well, one bump. Yeah. And what happened to that individual is we found out that actually he wasn't okay. It was a facade. He was having challenges with mental health. He was struggling with, you know, feeling like an imposter. He wasn't going to do it. And his entire world crumbled. And it was up to those social workers to say, how do we unpack this? How do we build you up internally so that you have finally an opportunity through therapy to deal with some of the challenges that you've had of being abandoned, being told that you're not good enough before you can actually go back and focus on school. And so every little bit is different and everybody needs something different.
You've been listening to Spotlight on the Community with one of our region's most impactful organizations, Promises to Kids. We'll be back after a short break.
When you do your banking with Mission Fed, you get great rates on auto and home loans. That's good for you, but something good also happens for a lot of other people. We're not for profit, so we put money back into the community to help lots of great nonprofits to keep San Diego strong. So you're not just getting something good, you're doing something good. Come to Mission Fed. It's banking that's good for all.
Brand amplification is the DNA of Cloudcast Media. And our code is the powerful blending of sound, voice, and storytelling to lift local brands and their communities. Whether it is our Brandcast, Schoolcast, or Causecast platforms, the unifying ethos is all about this community, the one you call home. If you dare to dream and want to explore the brand amplification of Cloudcast, a national leader in local podcasting and other Winfluence strategies, please visit us at cloudcast.us.
We are back with Promises to Kids and are joined by Tanya Tarosian, CEO of the organization. My name is Dr. Mark Mailer, President of National University, the special guest host of Drew Schlossberg's Spotlight on the Community Show, the nation's longest-running community podcast now in its 18th year. The show is brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union that for more than six decades has been supporting key causes and initiatives in San Diego, from food insecurity to literacy to arts, education, and beyond. Drew Schlossberg is on vacation, but I am joined by Drew's co-host, Brandon Joe, our associate producer. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah. And speaking of, I guess, some of the people that support you, so I know that Mission Fed is one of those individuals. Yes. How does that help? And I guess, what does that really entail?
Yeah, Promises to Kids is almost 100% philanthropy funded, which is very unique. Most agencies that support foster children receive government funding or fee-for-service revenue. So we have to rely on partners like Mission Fed and others in the community, as well as individuals, to invest in our work. And I say invest because it's not really a donation in terms of, we don't like to be thought of as a charitable gift. It really is about, we are partners and we invest in the community together because there is a return on that investment. Mm. What you put forward today as an investment in, let's say, one of the youth that we serve, will return to the community by their outcomes, by their being able to be a contributing member of society. So,
mm-hmm. Talk to me a bit about the Foster Futures program.
Yes, I'm really excited. This is our brand new program. It came about when we were looking at our Guardian Scholars program, which is that aging out of foster care into adulthood program. And what we were seeing is both nationally, there's a high instance of if you were in foster care, you have a very high likelihood that you will be homeless within 18 to 24 months of leaving foster care. It's about 1 in 3. So we kept thinking about that. And when we were seeing our Guardian Scholars, even though they're insulated and supported, when we started seeing those instances of those youth also climbing and becoming on the street, we started thinking about what can we do differently to make sure that they have support. And so I started researching and looking at other similar programs around the country that were providing some financial support every month to individuals alongside other supports like case management. And so we really analyzed what are the issues that face our youth that put them on the street. The top thing is income. You know, if you don't have enough money, it doesn't matter how much coaching and support you have, you don't have enough money. And so we knew that that was a critical cornerstone. So we are providing individuals who will be in this program, so former foster youth, $1,000 a month for a period of 2 years, so 24 months. While we're doing that, we are providing intensive case management so we can help them identify where their needs are. Mental health therapy to deal with some of the challenges that they have. Vocational training, career planning, education support with partners, with educational partners, and making sure that if there's childcare, we deal with that. So all of the issues that they're facing, the entire goal is over the 24-month period, we are going to raise their earning potential by $8 to $10 an hour so that when we take that money away, right, when it's gone, they're not feeling a loss because they've already raised to a point where it's sustainable. So I think that when San Diego, it's an innovative program. There isn't another one for foster youth like that here. Right. And we're supporting 50 youth. We just started on Monday. So I'm excited.
It is such a great example of a scaffold, right? It's showing up when it's needed. And then it's going to start to, again, as those foster youth get stronger and are able to kind of lead their own way. What's also powerful about these models is often you're able, once you get a set of successful young people that come through it, they can serve as near peers. They can kind of reach back and actually help those rising foster youth who have a challenge understand, hey, you can get through this. I went through it. Here's some other challenges. Talk a bit about how you leverage kind of the near peer strategy and maybe that this program and in others.
Yeah, so we have a program we call Youth to Youth, and it takes some of those 18 plus former foster youth, and we train them. So we train them, how do you be a peer? How do you deal with stress? How do you deal with this trauma? How do you guide another person through the process of leaving foster care into adulthood? Many are, you know, 30 years old, some are 25, but we will take them right around transition. And then we put them in the community. So they're assigned to walk alongside some of these youth that we're talking about. They meet with them regularly. They're there as a sounding board. So they're really an extension. And we've formed an alumni community as well, so that, because our foster youth and our Guardian Scholars program really are connected to Promises to Kids. We're like their second family. And so when we think about it, we don't want to just go away, but we do want to step back and let them flourish. Like you said, the scaffolding should go away. And so we decided to transition it into what's called alumni program, which really is going to be specifically run only by foster youth, funded by us. We'll do activities and different things, but they will plan them, do them, and be their own support.
I love that kind of alumni support. And you've been showcasing alumni for some time. You run one of the most inspiring kind of annual galas that is part of your fundraising strategies. And one of the things you do is really showcase people who've been rising and thriving in this kind of larger work. Talk a bit about that program.
Yeah, so we have a whole training program to help people know how to do public speaking, how to own their own story. Because when you grow up in foster care, you learn pretty quickly that you don't have a right to your own privacy, right? Because there's always somebody coming in and tell me about this, and they know everything about you before you even can open your mouth. So we want to take these young people who are starting to be adults and let them know they own their own story. They can say whatever they want about what they were experienced, and they can also say, I don't want to talk about that.
Yep.
And so we teach them about that, and then we teach them about if they want to share and what they want to share, what the best way to do. So public speaking, we do things like, as I mentioned today, we're supposed to have a co-host today, one of our young people. She had an emergency, but they have opportunities on media. They have opportunities to speak to other youth, to go with me when I meet with funders to talk about their experience. And it's very empowering for them to be able to take that back.
I think that's just so amazing because fundamentally, the thing that a lot of young people are lost or embarrassed to sharing is their story. It doesn't matter if foster youth or not, but even so, being able to support individuals who have lost their voice in this greater system and to give it back to them so that as a beautiful program that you host, you're able to highlight what you're able to do. I'm just curious, like, what's the most beautiful story that you've heard from a student of yours or one of the people you've helped?
Yeah, so there's a number of them. The woman who was going to come on today, her story, she came into care. She was one of, you know, several different siblings, and her mom struggled with mental health. And so she came into foster care. Through care, she had had a number of challenges related to repeated abuse and other components. So when she finally got out of care, she was trying to figure out how to do better for herself. And she found herself being in a situation where she was in a abusive partner relationship. So not really knowing how to get her needs met in another way, she was in this relationship. She became pretty scary and she decided she needed to get out. So she did. But she had no funds. She was in school. She was at UCLA, but she was living in her car. And she had 1 year less to graduation. And she contacted Promises to Kids. And we helped her with trying to figure out how she can not live in her car, how she can have resources to be able to make sure she was safe. Also connected her with a therapist. And a therapist, this woman is Black. And she'd never had a therapist that was also Black, and that was very important to her. And so we were able to make that connection. And not only was it helpful for her for mental health, but it was also helpful for her in reconnecting to her culture.
That is one of the biggest challenges, especially post the primary care up until 18 years old. But once they get past 18 years old with foster youth, it's often housing insecurity, food insecurity, transportation challenges, as you said, just basic cash needs to be able to kind of live day to day. There really is, again, without the kind of scaffolds of having that family structure, mm-hmm. Promises to Kids is trying to help. And part of this is also trying to talk about the importance of kind of weaving together the family of social services that are mm-hmm. available, because there are a lot of social services available. But often folks don't even know how to access SNAP, and they don't know how to access the core resources. Yeah. And part of what you do is to kind of stitch together, like, here's what's available to you. Like, so many students coming to NU have no idea that they have access to so much financial aid that can help them out. But talk a bit about the importance of that kind of braiding.
Yeah, so it's really a daunting task to try to figure out, one, what resources are there for whatever issue that you're having. And then when you do find out that there are resources, there's probably five doors that you have to walk through, let's say, just for one resource.
And forms you have to fill out.
Yeah, and it's really challenging. And it becomes so overwhelming that many people don't reach out. And so that's the job of our case managers and our coordinators. So they'll meet with a young person, they'll talk to them, offer all of the things that are available, not through Promises to Kids, but like you said, SNAP. So what food assistance is there? Going to a food bank, are there other opportunities? Are there things like not just mental health services, but is there like workforce training? Are there grants that are out there from other folks? And sit beside them and say, here's what we need to do, and actually walk them to the office, make sure that that's done. Some of our youth don't have any of their paperwork in terms of immigration. We walk them through that. How do you get your birth certificate when all of your records are sealed? Well, we have to go through and do that. So it's really about coordinating and walking along beside someone.
Yeah, and again, I can't emphasize enough, and you've championed this your entire career, every little bit helps, and being there for that kind of support. How can folks find out more about your organization and support your good work?
Yeah, so our website has a number of opportunities. Our website is promises2kids.org. And it talks about all of our volunteer opportunities. You can be a mentor for one-on-one as those college kids are navigating that transition. You can also be a mentor. We just started a new program for children in foster care, age 5 to 18. And then you can volunteer. We have a variety of things that are needed for that college age. So it could be interviewing, budgeting, all of those components. And then our Camp Connect. So, and then obviously, the biggest thing that is always a need for a philanthropy-funded organization is funds. So yeah. as you're planning your end of year giving and donations, please invest in Promises to Kids. Our youth could really use that support.
Again, we're joined by Tanya Tarosian, CEO of Promises to Kids. Thank you so much for taking the time for today.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thanks for always supporting our youth. I know that it's an incredible institution for our youth to be able to attend.
Yeah, and Brandon, thank you for joining in the conversation. Hope you all enjoyed this dialogue. I am Dr. Mark Milliron, president of National University and the special guest host for Drew Schlossberg Spotlight in the Community Show. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. We'll join us again next time.
You've been listening to an episode of Drew Schlossberg's Spotlight on the Community Show, amplifying the voices of social impact organizations, entrepreneurs, local nonprofits, and other community champions who shape the culture, creativity, and connectivity of San Diego community. Brought to you by Mission Fed Credit Union, bringing good things to San Diego for over 60 years. Learn more about what is good for you and good for all by visiting www.missionfed.com.
Cloudcast Media.